Welcome, listeners, to another episode of your favorite podcast, The Pursuit of Perfectness. I'm Ellen Matthews.
And I'm Dennis Pacheco, and we're your intrepid co-hosts on this journey of perfectionism. What is it? Do we want it? Do we need more of it? Do we need less of it? That's what this podcast is. And that's our new intro verbatim.
And you know what? It's too tight.
It's too tight. Let's loosen it up.
It's got to be looser. One day we're going to find the sweet spot.
Yeah, but not today.
But not today, folks. We got a great host today.
Yeah.
Host.
We got a great host. We have two great hosts.
We have great hosts every day, okay? Yeah. We also have great guests every day. But this one is remarkable.
Our guest today is Victor Varnado. He is a pretty much a Renaissance man.
Yes.
You've seen him in a lot of things or heard his voice. He's got a couple of podcasts that he does, Wiki Listen, Six Unseemly Questions. You've seen him on Conan O'Brien doing stand-up. He's a producer. He's a writer. He is, help me out, Alan. What else? He's a New Yorker cartoonist. He's done cartoons for the New Yorker. And we had such a delightful and hilarious and deep, I think, conversation, with Victor. Victor wanted us, that was all, that intro was, I wrote that intro. But this is the intro that he wanted us to use. Victor Varnado wrote all the good parts of the Bible.
There you go. The good parts.
The parts that you like, he wrote those.
I mean, I was so impressed with all the projects that he has. I did ask him after we stopped recording how many hours of sleep he gets per night, because it sounds like he doesn't sleep. He's just working on so much stuff. But folks, confirmed, he gets 6 to 8 hours per night.
And sometimes he takes naps.
Yes.
So
you heard it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
I really enjoyed this conversation. Glad we got the chance to sit down with Victor. And here's our conversation with Victor Varnado. But Wiki Listen, that's your podcast about you find something interesting on Wikipedia and talk about it.
No, not exactly. No.
I did research.
I think I know what it is.
But not specifically on that podcast.
You read verbatim Wikipedia pages.
Yes, we just read Wikipedia pages.
Okay.
And then we're just like, we just find Wikipedia pages that are interesting. We just read them. And it's like a daily podcast.
That's amazing.
And here's the craziest part. I got a deal for it. So like I got someone to write a big check for it already.
That's amazing. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's like a real thing. It's pretty crazy. I'm very happy about it because like I've been saying for the last year that I've been trying to like monetize nonsense. Like I just want to be able to just do weird things and find a way that it can be a profitable thing.
Yeah.
You know, like I love reading Wikipedia and just in general. And so when I realized that you could just take the material and make a podcast, like, and it would seem like a well-researched, informational podcast, because that's what it is. That's exactly what it's a well-researched informational podcast. It's like infotainment. But so we're reading about just like ridiculous things too, that are like one of my favorites is, ferret legging, which is a sport where, you have a pair of pants. You have to tie the pants at the rules are you tie the pants at your ankles. You put a ferret in your pants, and the ferret must have access to both legs, like be able to go back and forth between the legs. And you cannot wear underwear to cover your genitals.
Oh,
so like those are the rules of ferret legging.
Wow.
And how do you win ferret legging?
Well, you win. Throw up those quotes around win though, my friend. But you win by. You win by the longest.
So. Jesus. Jesus.
And one guy innovated the sport by suggesting that everybody wear white pants so you could see the blood better.
Oh. Beautiful.
Where is this sport? I mean, I guess I got to listen to podcasts. Where is this sport?
Or you could just read Wikipedia.
Or I could just read Wikipedia.
Just look up ferret legging. It's great.
That is amazing. Well, okay. Before we dive into the individual project, I just want to get a better handle on your bio because it's so vast. We were saying before we started recording, you seem like a Renaissance man because you do so much. You are an actor, a comedian, a cartoonist. You host several podcasts. Like, what don't you do?
I can tell you all the stuff that I don't do. I can tell you all the stuff that I don't do because I am on purpose making a career where I don't have to do the things I don't like to do. So I can list it a lot. I can list easily all the things I don't do.
Yeah.
That you're happy three. About not doing. Yeah. That you're happy.
Oh yeah. Like
about
I don't,
doing.
I don't have to do, dirty business discussions. Like I say what I want, and then I have other people who go in and make sure that I get what I want, and they've been told by me, I always be polite to people. I never ever want to be the bad guy in a negotiation, but I always want to get, you know, I want to be represented the way I want to be represented. Like I want to get these things, and so I don't have to have those conversations. I have people who can have those conversations because that's something I don't do. I don't have to dig through finance numbers endlessly. I mean, I understand, you know, my finances, but I have a person who like digs, who like, you know, does the stuff that, I mean, and does stuff that I could never ever do. Like he can do, like, you know, projection charts and stuff like that. Like he's like serious. Like he can do all kinds of stuff. But like part of our deal is like you do the finance to a degree so that I can do things that I wouldn't be able to do without him. For instance, like I just had a project that I did and I needed to take money from an investor, you know, legally and have it all done exactly right so that everybody's happy and everybody's covered. And that's like something I don't know how to do personally myself. And I don't actually want to learn how to do that. Like personally, like I want to understand it, but I don't want to learn how to like write an operating agreement. I don't want to have to learn all of that shit. Can we swear in this podcast?
Yes,
I don't know.
Swear away.
Okay. I don't want to learn all that shit. So
I've been meaning to ask. Alan, so I'm glad it finally came up.
So that's another thing I don't do. And so like, so basically anything, I'm trying to build a world where I don't have to do anything except for the fun parts. And so that's what I'm trying to work on.
Yeah, I've heard you say that before, and I wanted to ask you about that. Real quick, now that we know what you won't do, let's just like generally list for our listeners who don't know you, New Yorker cartoonist, stand-up comedian, producer, what else? Actor, I don't know, content creator, performance artist.
I think performance artist is kind of covers it all. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah. I do a lot of things and I am an artist and I like to express myself in different mediums. And I also usually don't stop until I achieve a high bar in those mediums. Actually, I don't even stop after that. But I'm always like, if I want to go, I try to achieve a high bar in whatever it is that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Beautiful. We're going to explore that at some point because that sounds very perfectionism-y, which we talk about a lot on this podcast.
Yeah. As a former cartoonist, I'm interested in that part of your oeuvre. Because I feel like you came to cartooning kind of late, but you like went gung ho at it, and you worked really hard. You draw every day, and you wanted to be a New Yorker cartoonist, and you made it happen. You would go in, and they didn't just let anybody in the door and just pitch to them. You'd have to be invited in to pitch to the New Yorker cartoon editor, and they'd invite you back, and they'd invite you back, and then you got in, and not only did you get a cartoon in, but you got a cartoon in that like got pretty popular and went viral. So yeah, I guess my question is, When did you like start drawing seriously and decide that that was something that you wanted to, that was a goal that you wanted to achieve?
Just very quickly for the cartoonists out there who are interested, you actually don't have to be invited to pitch the first time. You actually, basically, if you want to get in a first time, most people will just let you come in one time. But depending on how that goes is whether you can come back again and actually do an in-person pitch. So I'm just letting people know that, like, if you're like a, if you're like a budding cartoonist and you're like, hey, I want to give this a shot, don't listen to what Dennis just said. Go for it.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. And this goes for every episode. But yeah, I remember when our friend Karen Snyder was going in and pitching, and she'd go in and pitch a lot, and she got some cartoons in. How happy she was. And but yeah, but you've always liked art, right? And comics.
Absolutely. And but I think that I unfortunately did not figure out like how I wanted to think about my life and my future until I was 48. So, but when I was 48, I asked myself a few questions. And after asking myself those questions, I came up with like real answers. And then I was like, well, you have a choice. You can either be afraid to act on these things. Well, I don't have a choice about being afraid. I'll always be afraid to act on things. But you have a choice of either doing these things or not doing the things. And I was like, I think I'm just going to do them because what do I have to lose? Because I was just kind of like, I was actually at like kind of like midlife crisis time where I was like working at a job where I was getting paid a lot of money and I hated it so much.
Was that like computer programming?
No, that was being a producer on in the Love at the time I was a producer for the Love and Hip Hop franchise, one of their like TV shows. So like this million-dollar franchise, reality franchise. I was just a producer on one of their shows. And and I was just like, I hate this.
But you were in show business, I think a lot, right? A lot of people would say,
yeah,
like,
I'm
hey,
still
you're
in show business. I was and continue to be in show business.
Yeah.
But basically, I kind of I came out initially and I was getting famous really fast, and then I steered away from just being like the albino guy in every movie. Because that is not like what I wanted to be known as. I wanted to be known as an artist because my heart sings. And so I instead.
I didn't mean to laugh. That was very beautiful.
That was beautiful.
No, that's okay. It was meant to be funny.
No, I had the correct response. I kind of fawned.
Well, it is. It's both. It is both. It's both. And it, why
right.
can't it be? It's all good.
You're right. You're so right.
and so I started doing things and making projects around myself, which and that became the Awkward Comedy Show on Comedy Central, where I just basically it was kind of like the first time that they'd been like, this is black nerd comedy, you know. That was like the first special that was sucking on that particular teat. And so started a whole trend.
Yeah.
And then so that led me to do more and more producing because I was really, I just turned out to be really good at it. And then fast forward to years later, and I wake up on Love and Hip Hop. I'm like, what am I doing? I hate this. And I was like, I need to figure out what I really want to do with my career. And so,
I'm curious to know what you hated about it. Were you having to do those things that you listed that you hate doing, or was it that it wasn't, did you not have enough creative control?
It was just like, think about it this way. If you are an entrepreneur, one day you wake up and you're working at a job and you're in somebody else's office and you're making somebody else's dream come yes. true. And yeah. it just doesn't really matter to you what that company is doing at all. Cause the company is just making, you know, like links and links of sausages, just feeding them to big fat people with their mouths open and going, I just want to fucking suck out these sausages. And the company's like, here's more sausage. And then I'm there at the sausage company, like, this might be bad for people. And they're just like, hey, fuck you, dude. You need to pull that sausage lever right now. And so that's why I was like, I gotta get out of here.
That's yeah, so perfect.
That is a perfect way to explain it. I totally get it now.
Yeah. Yeah, I had this I had that thought yesterday. You're when you're any job, you're basically working for people who you don't want to work for, or rich people who have money and they want you to help them make more money. And that's why you have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was thinking about you and how you were like, you know what? I'm just going to do projects that I want to do. Mm. And I'm not going to pull that sausage lever anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned programmer, but yeah. So another credit you have is like you make video games, right?
Well, sort of.
You design them, write them?
I make video games just for fun. Like, nobody pays me to make video games, okay? Nobody's ever been like, I mean, I've worked on a video game as a writer when it was like a comedy game, and I was like the head writer, and I'd done voiceover for stuff, but nobody's paid me to like, hey man, you're in charge of making this game. Get to that keyboard. Nobody's paid me to make a video game ever. I make video games for fun, and my video games are stupid. And I once submitted two of my video games to like a casual, crappy game site, like a really crappy game site, and they rejected them.
What was the game? I want to play it.
You can actually play the games. You can play two games that they're on hidden links on my site. But if you search for them, you can find them. One is Maze of Cthulhu. Just search for Victor Varnado Maze of Cthulhu, and you'll find a procedurally generated maze game that you can play even on your phone or on your PC or home Mac or whatever you got. Whatever you got, you could play it on whatever. You can do it on your touch screen by just moving your thumb around, or you can do it with a keyboard. Have a good time, everybody.
I'm going to do it on my phone.
Good luck pleasing the all-seeing Cthulhu.
Yeah. I don't know a lot about Cthulhu or Lovecraft or any of that.
Neither do I, actually.
Oh, really?
I know a little bit, but just enough that I know I like it. So, when people find out that I like Cthulhu, because I do a lot of like random Cthulhu things. Like I made a song called "Hey, My Name Is Cthulhu," like a pop song called "Hey, My Name Is Cthulhu," and I think it's online somewhere. It's just a still of a drawing of Cthulhu I did, and then the lyrics of "Hey, My Name Is Cthulhu." But anyway, I like the vibe of Cthulhu. But I'm not interested in Cthulhu enough that I really want to dig super deep. And so because I like Cthulhu and I like to do Cthulhu things, when people who really, really, really like Cthulhu are like, hey man, the name Arkham comes from the Cthulhu mythos originally.
I knew that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so when somebody who was really into Cthulhu was mad that I didn't know that and they were like, you're a poser. I'm just like, sure. Okay.
What's
Cthulhu?
That impulse?
Cthulhu is a mythos created by H.P. Lovecraft of these certain old cosmic gods who were like doing other things and accidentally killing people in their wake. And he created this genre called cosmic horror, really. Mm-hmm. And he was also super racist.
I knew that I was going to mention.
Yeah, a lot of people like try to separate that from his work. I do, because I mean he's an amazing horror writer.
Yeah, I love the idea of like this thing is so scary that if you look at it directly, you'll go insane.
Yeah, that's great.
Woo.
There's one of my favorite animated music videos is a cartoon like in a Cthulhu style. I'll send it to you if you remind me.
Wait, so I wanted to go back to you're miserable in your job and you leave. And what is that like? Was that scary? Was that exciting? Was it difficult?
It was all of those things, scary, exciting, yeah. and difficult. Because basically I left my job and then I, the problem was that I didn't realize, like, I guess how capable I could possibly be. And so I really kept jumping from one bad deal to another where, like, people could potentially own, like, a huge portion of my IP or things that I create because I wasn't valuing how much it was worth for me to be not only a creator, but a creator who can, like, sit down and be also business savvy when necessary. And and so, like, and also, like, as a creator, it's not like I'm a creator in, I'm just going to say it. Sorry, everybody, but this is the real world. I'm not a creator in the way that most people say that they're a creator. I'm a creator in the way that I can constantly work on high-level projects. And so, but that's a very specific talent. It's like when you get to the part where people can trust you to come in on a project creatively and you, like, you don't have to audition, like, but they can just be like, call Victor, he's a good writer. Like, I, like, when you get into that area, it's a good area to be in. It doesn't mean that you're constantly working or anything, but it just means that within the industry you're trusted to do a specific thing. Which is a good place to be in. And but also it also happens that, I mean, I'm not like a genius of business or anything like that, but when I was 48, one of the things I decided was I was going to learn more about how business works. It turns out that I'm pretty good at understanding it. But I did earn a couple of hard lessons in the first 2 years until I ended up working on my, like, really working on my own.
What do you mean by hard lessons?
I just mean that I was working with other companies and the deals that they were giving me weren't great, and also some of the people weren't great and did things that some might call, you know, illegal. And so then I was like, hey, let me get out of this illegal situation. And then they were like, no, we want to come after you with a lawyer for your IP. And I'm like, no, you can't do that because I also have a lawyer, and we and I won. And so then I got away from them, and so now I'm on my own and things are actually much better than they ever were.
Good. Yeah, it sounds like you have people for everything, lawyer.
If you must know, Dennis.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pry. We have to ask questions.
No, that's okay. That's why I didn't say anybody or anything. I was just saying in the realm of what was happening and not, like, giving specifics.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
if somebody really wanted to be a sleuth, great. Have at it.
Write us at pursuitofperfectness@gmail.com. If you figured that out, we'll send you a no prize. The POP no prize, which I have not discussed with Ellen, but that's a thing. That's a Marvel Comics thing. We'll talk about it later. I was listening to a podcast that you were on, Victor, and you talked about, and this kind of surprised me, but I guess talking to you doesn't surprise me as much anymore, but you were talking about dealing with imposter syndrome, where you would, like, be hired for these projects or, you know, be asked to, you know, to do things, and you'd be like, oh, how did I fool them into hiring me?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How did I have them fooled? Like they're going to discover discover any moment that they made a mistake. And
pretty much, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so how'd you get over that? Did you get over that?
I didn't get over that until 4 years ago when I was 48. And I'm not over it because I still have those feelings, but I'm not letting it ruin my life anymore.
Yeah.
Because and you might say, "Hey Victor, you're on all those TV shows and whatever, and your life wasn't ruined. Come on, dude." And I would say, Yeah, but I didn't get to enjoy it really. Like I was doing things and I was in such fear all the time and I didn't get to enjoy it. So any time I think that you are more scared than you are enjoying these things, which could be considered like the heights of your existence or experience, like then you are, that is not great. That is more like torture. Sorry, everybody.
No, it's true.
Torture.
And it's really good advice because nothing, you're not really changing anything other than your reaction, right? Like that this height is happening for you. I can either be really scared and stress out about it and overthink everything, or I can take a moment to enjoy this and look at everything I've accomplished. I love that attitude. I love that philosophy. We should all take a page from your book. I have a question about...
Yeah, take a page from my book, everybody. You know what I mean? Take that page.
Why does that sound...
Yeah, I feel like we have to bleep that.
Yeah, you take that page.
I don't know why. It's just a book, but we don't have to bleep that.
I think I got pregnant.
With knowledge.
Get that brain pregnant, girl.
Yeah, this is another stupid thing. I also made a song once called "I Just Want to Fuck Your Mind," and that's basically the whole song.
It's beautiful.
And one of the lines in the song, because it's just like music, 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 music. Quote: music, 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 music. That's the whole song. And one of the quotes is "Feel my brain, dick."
So do you, is it like electronic music? Do you play instruments?
Or? I do. I play instruments okay. I'm a decent bass player. I'm a good enough bass player so that I've played at like, when I had a band, I played at like actual venues. And I'm a good enough bass player so like I could not be embarrassing and make a recording. But I'm not like anybody's like, is that guy Flea? Do I hear Flea? No, nobody's going to say that. And then I can also play rhythm guitar.
What'd you say, rhythm guitar?
Yeah, I can also play rhythm guitar. And yeah, so, yeah. And enough keyboard so that I can program stuff in GarageBand. So nothing too crazy. So I do a little bit of something, but nothing really.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never gotten the hang of making music. I like to play guitar, but I don't know how to make it, make up music. I can just copy what other people did. That's good enough for me.
I like making it up too.
Yeah.
And
go ahead. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you weren't. I was about to burp and I put my hand over my mouth. I put my hand over my mouth so I didn't die.
No, please go ahead. We want to hear the burp. speaking of making music, you answered in our questionnaire that the HBO series The Defiant Ones was really meaningful to you. You said it changed your life. I was hoping you could expand on that a bit.
Yeah, The Defiant Ones is great. The Defiant Ones was just a show where like I saw people who had a singular vision even from when they were younger, and because they figured out what that singular vision was and just pursued it and pursued it and pursued it, they got what they wanted, a life where all they do is that thing for their living, and they make good money doing that thing that gives them the most like joy. They pursue their curiosity for a living, and so
I haven't seen it. It's about hip hop producers.
It's about Jimmy Ivey and Dr. Dre, okay. And then so like, and it just shows them from when they were just kids, and then traces them all throughout their lives to them being billionaires. And just shows how they work and what they did and just goes over all of it. And it's amazing. And the thing that I took away from it was that one, if I wanted to do something that was outstanding, like I want to do things that people are going to look back and say, you know, that was amazing. I want to make things that people look at and think are amazing. I want to make things people see, and they, like, if they're a creative, they're like, oh my God, I wish I thought of that. Like, I want to make things that I would watch and or want to be part of or want to enjoy, even if I didn't make them. And so I want to reach a very high level. And so if I want to reach a high level, it was just inspiring to see people from two different walks of lives and have their, and so like have one story is Dr. Dre, like who grew up in a very different circumstance than Jimmy Ivey, and then see their lives traced and every step that they took, and then where their lives their lives intertwined, and they were, by that time, they're in the same world, and then finally where they ended up and like what they're doing now. Like, it's just an amazing journey in a series, and it changed me because it made me realize that although for people who are just straight up like comedians and nonsense peddlers like myself, that you could also mix that with entrepreneurship. And so that really got me into the idea of learning more about entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
As well as doing that. And there's not a lot of entrepreneurs that I know, but they exist out there, but I know personally who are very strong entrepreneurs, but also strongly identify as an artist. Mm-hmm. Most of the people I know who strongly identify as artists do not strongly identify as an entrepreneur. And most of the people who strongly identify as an entrepreneur don't, as artists that I know currently.
Right.
So
right.
Trying to fix that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got a podcast that tells people how to do things, right? Alan told me about this.
Yes.
I researched other parts. Listen, we got you all
There's
covered.
So much to cover. I listened to the Arts Academy podcast, particularly the episode where you taught how to structure a podcast, because I was trying to take some learning away for our podcast. And it was very helpful. And you had a ton of classes, I guess it's an academy, right? For people to listen to, to start their own art endeavors. How long ago did you start that, and what made you want to do that?
I think that started really during the pandemic, and it made me want to do that because originally, when I was thinking of starting out on my own to make money as an independent artist, I looked at the ways that people were making money online with e-commerce and et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, maybe I can learn something from these guys. I mean, I don't want to do any drop shipping ever, but I was like, there's got to be something that I can learn. And then what I realized, something that I could do, which was easy, which is just teach people how to do things in entertainment on the business side. Because business, and I say the mechanics. It really is the mechanics of entertainment, because like I don't know a lot of places that just teach that specific thing, and I don't think that when I was starting out as an artist, like there's so many things I wish I knew. And then also I'm a working artist, so we also talk about things that I'm going through as well. Like I talked about, you know, the Kickstarter that I did for my book and getting to, you know, getting that money, like how I figured out a way to make people pay more attention and buy the Kickstarter more. And like, I talk about the process while I was going through it. And so like, I think it's a good thing. Like, if people want to learn about stuff, I guess. Anyway, I was trying
very
to,
useful,
I was
very helpful. I'm going to, yeah, look at that.
I was trying to do classes at first, but then I realized that it's stronger as a podcast first. And so I'm just doing it as a podcast. And then I always want to be able to, like, I have this whole plan set up where I can give the maximum amount to people for free, but still build a business that also makes money, because one of the ideas behind what I'm doing is I'm trying to take things that I enjoy doing, and I'm trying to make them into businesses that do not prey upon people. Mm. Or if, like, I want to make businesses do not prey upon people. Are they? Do they make money? Yes, but the idea is I want to be able to explain to people how my businesses work simply, right, without them and without there ever being a problem. I just want to be like, you know, I can't say that everything that I will ever do will not harm somebody, but no harm is intended. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And so the podcast that I was talking about, like, I have this whole plan for it where, like, I want to do a podcast, and then I give away all information for free on the podcast, and then podcast episodes that are great, I will turn into a webinar, and I will give that away for free to people who have signed up for the podcast, the students group. And so we'll give away those for free. And then that footage would then be taken and turned into classes. Which would be for sale online. However, most of the information in the class, you could go to trace it back to a podcast episode and hear some of the basic information about that thing for free all the time. Right. And so, like, that's the whole plan. And then eventually, like, those things that are turned into classes could also be turned into books, ebooks that could be put online because the information is already there. But the only reason why I haven't been pushing it right now is because it's a business that I'm only building with, like, excess money right now, because I don't want to. Yeah, I mean, I'm only building that business when the rest of my business is doing good, because it runs on excess money from the rest of my business. So I'm going to start building it again now, just because my business just recently, things took a very, very, very good turn, like hockey stick turn, so it's good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll get into that. Take that break.
Please, we can't bleep anymore. Stop.
We're back from break, and we were about to hear about that hockey stick turn. Let's hear about that.
So basically, during the pandemic, obviously, business was not great for small production companies who can't necessarily afford to add another like $40,000 to every day of production to handle COVID safety on everything. So, what that meant was, during the pandemic, a lot of my work, I was leapfrogging from gig to gig, which sucks as a business owner. During the pandemic, I spent some time developing projects that were pandemic-proof. And so, now this is well into me studying a lot more about entrepreneurship. And so, basically, I would create projects and prove how they could make money. And then I would write a business plan around those projects, these art projects, and then I would pitch it to people. And then I met a guy who I'm working with. His name is Keith, and he is just he used to be a, I can't, here's the thing. If I tell you who Keith works with, I have to tell you less details about the story. But if I don't tell you who Keith works with, I can tell you more details about the story. What would you prefer?
I vote for more details about the story, less about this mystery, Keith.
Great. Okay. So I met this guy named Keith. And then Keith was like, these are good ideas. We can definitely find funding for them. And then, so I put together packages for these ideas, and we found funding. And so now, suddenly, I have this, I'm not going to say the amount, but it's hundreds of thousands of dollars to do these projects. And so one of the projects is WikiListen, which is my podcast. Where we're just basically launching the podcast, but using the same tactics and marketing that big companies use to launch podcasts, because we now have a budget to do real marketing. And so basically this podcast, which is a good idea, has a chance of becoming sort of like a household name if we play our cards right, because it's a daily podcast, but it's a daily funny podcast. And it also has great information, because it's very easy for us to produce episodes because we're just reading from Wikipedia.
Do you also comment on them? I mean, or you just
Yeah, we do. We mostly read. We read. Often I'll read. I've started reading more more theatrically, which is fun. And then we will also comment on things, because there's always like really fun things. And so usually between sections, we'll usually have a little comments off. But yeah, so it's it's like fun and light, but we read them. We really do. But it's really entertaining.
Yeah, it sounds fun. Sounds fun as hell.
And then you have another podcast, Six Unseemly Questions.
Six Unseemly Questions. By the way, everyone, here's the secret to having podcasts.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
All right, listeners,
a lot of podcasts.
Listen up.
The secret to having a lot of podcasts is if you have one podcast, do that podcast very, very well, and then wait until that podcast makes enough money so that you can have people do all the things around making that podcast besides showing up and recording, so that you can just show up and record and everything else is done for you automatically. Okay. Ugh. So like and then if you can do that with one podcast, then start duplicating that with the next podcast and the next podcast and next podcast. Like, start it out by yourself and just do the bare minimum to get it off the ground, and then get it to the point where it's only, you know, once every 2 weeks that you have to show up and be there. Because that's the way it is for me right now.
Yeah.
And then if you can build a team around that, you're eventually going to have more podcasts. And sure, you won't make the most money yourself to start out, but you'll start building a thing that will make you money.
That's awesome. It would be so cool to not have to edit these episodes. I would love to just do it.
This is how Six Unseemly Questions works. Now, currently, it works like this. It works where I show up and I show up an hour before we record, and I write questions for the contestants as I'm told who the contestants are, because often I don't know which people are going to be on the podcast then, because I don't have to do the booking, because I outsource my booking. And then I record the podcast, which takes about 90 minutes. And then I am done. So after those 2.5 hours, that's all I have to do for that podcast. And I do that once every 2 weeks.
So folks listening at home, tell your friends about Pursuit of Perfectness. Let's build that audience.
So that we can start getting a team to do our bookings, to do our editing.
Subscribe, set that thing to automatically download. That probably helps. Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great... something for us to strive for.
Yeah.
When it because it wasn't like that. When it started, I was doing everything.
I
was just doing everything. I just committed to doing everything until I didn't have to do everything. And I did it. Yeah. But I made systems so that I could do everything that the podcast needed to get done. Like, and it would take me maybe 2 to 3 hours per episode to just do everything, to make like the social media videos, to make... because I just made them, I made like a little like factory setting for like, I made a template and then I could just repeat it over and over again really easily. And then, so I just made it as easy on myself as possible. But I did commit to just doing it until I could get other people to do it. And then when I do have other people do it, I had all these systems set up, which made their job easier.
Yeah. It sounds to me like you work a lot of hours and you work hard on things that you want to work on, that give you joy, and that you choose to do, but you work hard. And I wanted to ask, like, you make video games for yourself. Nobody asked you to do that. We had a guest on who... Actually, they've asked me to ask you to
say it like that.
Stop
sounds kind of pathetic.
Nobody wants this. Nobody asked for this.
But here it is.
We had a guest who had a fascinating hobby of like making molds for these stop motion models and then making a stop motion animated animation movie just for fun. Mm-hmm. And you got the video games. What else do you do for fun or self-soothing or self-care?
I meditate, actually.
Nice.
You love getting a little bit high and then meditating. The first guy who showed me how to meditate, like, he basically was like, I dare you to meditate. And I was like, fine, I was fine. And then he was like, yeah, pretty much. Because he's this guy, and I love him. He's like super funny dude. His name is Roger Hales. Do you know who he is? Roger Hales?
No.
He used to be a stand-up in New York, but something you would recognize him for right now is like this past year, 2021, like his commercial was like commercial of the year. And the commercial that he made was a Geico commercial with the rap group Tag Team, where they had ice cream and they're like, scoop, there it is. Scoop, there. You remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, so that's Roger. Okay, so nice. That's the guy who got me to meditate. And so we meditated together, and then he got me to meditate by like just like doing like a one hitter of weed and then meditating. And then we did that, and it was just great. And then I just kept experimenting with it and doing more. And then I started expanding meditation practices to other things that I did. Yeah. And it was pretty cool. And so, like, I it's actually fun to meditate for me because I love, like, the roller coaster my mind goes on sometimes, even though I know my mind is supposed to be calm. But, like, it is calm, but then it fucking just, like, goes crazy, and it's so much fun. And so...
I think that's a myth. I think that's a lie.
It's not supposed to be anything. It's that we shouldn't judge whatever it does. If it's a roller coaster, it's a roller coaster. I think it's about noticing and observing without judgment. So if it's roller coasting, that's great. You're doing it right is basically what I'm telling you.
Well, it is fun. And so and so I was just like, yeah, this is great. It's fun. I want to do that. So that's just, I guess that's one of my hobbies. I also like watching cartoons. As you know, Dennis, I love playing role-playing games.
Uh-huh. Alan, I was formerly a part of the game with Victor as the Ass Master. So usually
these games Ass Master.
Usually these games have a DM or a GM, a Dungeon Master.
This is for Dungeons and Dragons, correct?
Well, this is for a game that Victor created called Assholes in Castles. And Victor was the ass master. He was the AM.
So that was super fun.
That was super fun, too.
Did you record that? I would love to watch.
It's not for video, but it's definitely, we're going to try to do something with the audio. That's also another project that I have where I'm just I was recording everyone, but I just haven't had the extra money and time money. Cause I'm going to definitely pay someone else to edit that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit down and edit the whole thing, but I just haven't had the time to make it a real thing yet, but I did record it and I have like 30 recordings.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Of Assholes and Castles session.
Was that something that like you shot up in the middle of the night and wrote down Assholes and Castles and then went back to bed and you're like you strike me as someone who gets like a lot of ideas and then actually executes on them.
That was something where I was like playing Dungeons and Dragons with some of my friends and we were so like bored of like the rules and I was like, can I just make this much more simple? And then so then I started looking up simple role-playing rules, and I found that there is like this whole thing out there called one-page RPGs, where they just like try to make an RPG down into like one page of rules, and that's it. And then so I looked at a bunch of that stuff, and then I was like, some of that stuff was like a little bit too much because there has to be like a little bit of something that where you can argue over the stats, because that's just part of it, what's fun about role-playing games. Yeah. Well, I've got 18 strength, shouldn't I be able to punch his head right off? And you're like, ah, maybe. part of that is fun.
Yeah.
And so I made it a little more complicated than those, but not as complicated as Dungeons and Dragons, and that was Assholes and Castles.
Yeah. Can I be honest? Maybe it's my ADD, but I never understood the rules.
But that was also part of the reason I made it, so that you don't really have to understand the rules, because they're all like they're all written down in front of me in a very simple way to understand, so I don't have to like dig for rules. It's easy to like make decisions, and that's what it's all about. Like, you don't have to know the rules, and the rules are short enough so that if I have a problem, I can just look at them and just be like, oh, that paragraph explains everything. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I love playing I play D&D. I don't really get D&D either, but I like playing those characters, and then, you know, I don't think you really need to know the rules, and I certainly didn't. I was
still
confident
fun.
That you did. It seemed like very simple math. Like, you'd just be like, oh, it's this and this. And I'm like, I don't know why I can't get this.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Because it's just like, it doesn't matter. Because it's not the point. The math and stuff is not really the point. And Dungeons & Dragons, it's so much, it became like so much math and just like different things that you would have to remember. And that's like, it's not even the point. And I get some people really, really, really get into that. But those people are not welcome in my home ever.
You shall not pass.
That's what you'll hear.
Well, we got to ask you before we wrap. Do you consider yourself a perfectionist?
Well, I'd have to say, yes. But I think that true perfection is really just embracing the fact that you're not perfect. Like, if you, like, I mean, is that a cop out? But that's exactly what I think. I think it's like, yeah, like it's okay. When I got to the point where I was like, hey, I know I want this to be perfect, and I know that, you know, this isn't exactly as my wildest dream, but I also understand that it's never going to get there. And at some point I have to get this out the door, you know, like, I just like, I'm always like trying to achieve, but also understanding and forgiving myself for not like being absolutely perfect. I have made a couple of things that are as good as what I imagined in the first place.
Wow.
And that is, I love the fact that there's some things out there where like they became like good, like I think the Awkward Comedy Show is one of those things where like it became like this iconic thing for a lot of people, because it was the first time that, you know, a lot of comics who were nerdy at the time saw like nerdy black comics, and then like those guys in that show went on to like get huge, like Hannibal Buress and Eric Andre and Victor Varnado. Hello, everybody. I'm introducing myself now. It's actually really funny. Hannibal and Eric both used to open for me.
I know. That's so wild.
And now Eric, I'm his personal toilet. He pees on me in the toilet. That's what he does. It's so weird. Like like how much we've changed, you know, our places.
Yeah. You used to pee on him.
Back in the good old days.
This is the New York comedy club scene. I'm gonna peek behind the curtain.
And then crap. I'm sorry, I forgot exactly what the point of talking about making things as good as I can make them. Yeah. And so I feel like some things have become iconic, not like truly iconic, well, iconic in one way or another. Like, for instance, like, and that's actually a that's actually a weird thing. And I hate language, especially when it comes to words, where when you're trying to explain something and the choice of words gets slimmer and slimmer.
Yes.
And then you, and then whatever words at the top of that triangle is the word that's most often misused. Like, you know, like for instance, when they're like, I literally got attacked, you know, like, right. And they don't mean literally at all,
right,
because,
right.
But that's just the word that's at the top of that triangle when you're trying to make, when you're trying to express this specific thing. Iconic is one of those things, because iconic is, doesn't necessarily mean, like, you know, Mickey Mouse is iconic, definitely. Is Mickey Mouse way more iconic than I would ever describe The Awkward Comedy Show? Yes. But is The Awkward Comedy Show something that means something and feels like an icon to some people? Yes. And so when I say iconic, it could mean a whole lot of things. And so when I'm talking about things that I'm trying to make, when I'm trying to make something iconic, I don't mean I want to make something that connects to everybody, but I want to make something that connects to someone in the same way that something that is truly iconic connects to the world. And if you do that enough with people, then you do have something that is truly iconic. Even if the audience is small for that truly iconic thing, it's still iconic for them. And so, like, I'm always thinking about, like, what is the best version of this thing I can make for people who truly love it? Because that includes me.
Right.
And so that is at the root of Realm of LARP was, like, that thing. You actually can't see Realm of LARP online right now, because although it was previously licensed by Nerdist and Legendary Pictures, that license has expired. So now it belongs to me again. So I'm actually pitching it around to resell it to make it a thing again. But... people wrote about it. If you read any articles about it, you can find out what it was all about.
Was that scripted or was that?
No, it was people really LARPing.
Oh man,
it was just a series where it was like, basically, I saw that, like, everything about LARPing was kind of looking down on LARPing. All the documentary series about LARPing, and I was like, well, can I make a series where I just show them being the heroes they, like, are, they're being, like, and so the idea was I just followed them while they're on their LARP, like a documentary series, but kind of like shot their LARPing like it was Lord of the Rings. Yeah. And then add in visual effects when they did spells, and then it was like intercut with, like, interviews of them, like, saying, I should have been at the front of the party protecting from the goblins, but I don't know what came over me. And it was great. And that's what the whole show was.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, if you want to see some episodes, I'll send you a private link.
Ooh.
Yeah, please.
So many good projects.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up.
I agree. I have a very extensive... I have a very extensive little, like, notepad thing with, like, I use Trello so much.
Trello?
What's Trello?
Yeah. Trello is, like, a task list website.
Oh.
That's just, like, really, it's a really good task list note-taking app. And so, one of the things, like, the core of me being productive is I have just a never-ending... Well, not never ending, but a list of things that I absolutely must get done. Like, these are things that, like, eventually they must be done. Right. And there's things on the that are on a list next to it, things that I'd like to do and I'd like to make time for. But there's, like, a list where it's just like, definitely you have to do these things. Actually, I can read you one of the things on the list.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
So here's the thing on the primary list. On the primary list, review Comedy Dynamics press release. That is a reminder to me to, there's a press release that's going to be coming out and I have to approve it. And so I need to review it. That's a thing that must happen. And here's the thing that's on the want to do list. Write a song called Check That Motherfucking Door for Traps. Okay. Because I want to make a theme song for Assholes and Castles of the podcast. And the theme song is Check That Motherfucking Door for Traps. Check That Motherfucking Door for Traps. So that's on the want to do list, but it's not a must do.
But that list disagree. Sounds so much more fun.
That's got to go on the must do
list. Yeah, that's got to be the must.
But here's the thing. But I've I do a thing where like I create things that so I create things so that the things that are on the want to do list go to the must do list. For instance, like want to, it used to be a want to do is just like spend an hour sifting through Wikipedia.
But now
that
you
used
must
to be a want
that.
To do thing, but now that's my job.
That's amazing.
Right.
That's
amazing. Right.
Like I used to love, I just sift through Wikipedia and just find weird stuff. Like that's my job.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Beautiful.
Even my job if I don't want it, because I have enough money to hire other people to do it if I don't feel like it.
Yeah. I just want to say, Victor, honestly, talking to you is inspiring.
It is. It really is.
So thank you for being on our show today. Is there anything that you'd like to plug? I know I've got it written down somewhere.
I'm just going to say, if you're out there and you want to listen to some cool Wikipedia pages, check out wikilisten.com. Check it out.
And on the internet, people can find you at VarnadoV and at Varnado.
Yes, on Instagram and Twitter, respectively.
All right. That's it for this week, folks. Follow us on Instagram at Pursuit of Perfectness. Tell your friends. Do all those things I said. Write us an email, pursuitofperfectness@gmail.com. We have yet to receive a listener email. You
could
be the first.
Don't tell them that.
You could be the first. And if you're the first email, it could just say poop, poop, poop. I'm going to read it
on the air.
Rate us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe. We want to thank Keith Burgun for our theme music. And until next time, be a little less hard on yourself.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. I'm about to be your first email.
I will read it.
I believe it.